No problem.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your association in the group. Prabhuji, please take over the call. Today we are reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 24 chapter, 216 onwards.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. First of all, I'd like to welcome online audience. And I am grateful to Mother Anjana Gopika and Pita Bilashini and the whole group for allowing me and engaging me in this beautiful devotional service called Harinama Kirtan in the form of discussing Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a format of Kirtan also. Kirtan means glorification of Sri Krishna, whether it's in a singing form or in a speaking form, either one. And I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for giving this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, by which or through which so many devotees are participating all over the world, and everywhere I go, they have a beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning, they have a japa period, Mangalarti. Every temple has a beautiful Guru Puja, Darshanarti, and recitation of these verses. Everywhere devotees are very happy. So I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for allowing me to be part of this Krishna Conscious family. So without delay, we'll start Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 24, text 216 and 217, according to assignment given to me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So the verse is directly spoken by Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is establishing this meaning, 61 meaning of Atma Rama verse. And we see hard-hearted Sarvam Bhattacharya hearing 18 explanation of this Atmarama verses, he became intimate associate. So since we are hearing more than 18, 61, what will happen to all of us? We'll be drowned into ecstasy. I hope so. And hope everybody does. Because that's the purpose. And Atmaramascha Munayo Nirgantre Api Urukrame Kurvanti Ahitukim Bhaktim Ittam Bhuta Gunahari. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this point that he's explaining the first word Atmarama again. And he gave many explanations. And today he's starting with 216, where he is also talking about tapasvi, the people who perform or undergo severe penances. So the verse begins with tapasvi prabriti jato deha rami haya sadhu sange tapachari shri krishna bhajaya tapasvi prabriti jato deha rami haya sadhu sange tapachari shri krishna bhajaya tapasvi prabriti jato deha rami haya sadhu sange tapachari shri krishna bhajaya. Srila Prabhupada translates, the tapasi, tapasi is those who undergo severe austerities and penances to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems are only in the same category. When such persons come in contact with a devotee, they give up all those practices and engage in Lord Krishna's service. So, let's see Srila Prabhupada's ecstasy, word-to-word meaning what he did. So here, first question should rise in us, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, giving this beautiful explanation of Atmarami Bhas, now he is talking about Deharami, also belongs to Atmarami. This is very unique, that generally we don't think, when we use the word Atmarami, we think of transcendental personality, not sense enjoyer. But Mahaprabhu is giving that Deharami Hai are within the category of the bodily concept of life. So we'll invoke the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara to discuss further on these two verses. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Yenanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmae Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamsha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasya Kripa Sindubhaye Vacha Paditanam Pavanebho Vaishnavebho Namo Namo Sirupa Sri Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Namo Mahabhadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratishe Namo He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanto Radha Kanto Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulasi Devaye Priyaye Keshavascha Krishna Bhakti Pade Devi Sattvate namo namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sometimes I think of anything I want to do or I did or I do, I always focus the goal, purpose. Before I began, so I always kind of a little greedy in that sense, but I'm grateful also that what do we obtain after serving Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself gave the result in Antalila 5.89. Says, Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karapan Yaha Haite Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. That if you recite Chaitanya Charitamrita regularly, suggested if you do daily, then what will happen? Jaha hoite pramananda. You will experience this ecstasy in your heart. And bhakti tattva gyan. And you will get the conclusion, conclusive truth, essential principle of all the Vedic literature. This will be revealed to your heart. It's such exciting that if we can serve Chaitanya Charitamrita every day, by everyone in all over the world, then the whole world will transform into Golok Vrindavan. So in this verse, we are going now. Tapasya prabriti jato deharami hai. Sadhu Sanghe Tapachari Sri Krishna Bhajai. So Mahaprabhu is giving the importance that even tapasya, of course in America I don't think we see the tapasya, maybe some Catholic priests and nuns, they probably do. I haven't seen, but probably they do exist, I'm sure, I believe. But in India, you can see, you go to the holy places, oh my God, there's so many devotees, tapasyas, they may not have a proper goal or good goal, but they know that if they do some austerity, they will gain a tremendous result and it will make them feel success in life. Because everybody should live with purposeful life. So, here, Srila Prabhupada said, tapasya. Who is tapasya? So Srila Prabhupada writes, word to word meaning, person who undergoes severe penances. Now, when we talk about severe penances, we don't mean like people who are suffering due to some bodily injury. Those are not considered penances. And if you say why they are not considered penances, we should be very clear. The penances, austerity, it's a conscious choice. Voluntarily, you are accepting generally, like for an example, if somebody on Ekadashi day is fasting, and consciously choose to please the Lord, he's going to do fasting, whatever extent, whether it's from water or nirjala, whatever extent, or just one meal, he's going to do some austerity. That pleases Krishna, and he will have a big bank account in transcendental bank. In spiritual bank, he will have a big bank account. Like for an example, say he is not feeling well, all of a sudden that not feeling well will disappear and you will feel good to practice Krishna consciousness just because he did some austerity. austerity is necessary. And when we say penances, now, for this example, on Ekadashi day, if somebody in the hospital also due to sickness, doctor prescribed that fasting. You have to do fasting. But that time, you cannot eat anything. Or some people goes for some vaccination or something, they cannot do eating for that day, or some sickness may cause. Is that a penance, an austerity? No. The tapa, the word tapa, is a consciously acceptance. Now you may say the patients in the hospital also voluntarily accepted this prescription of the doctor that I cannot eat today because he's going to do operation or something. I hear once in a while that people do. But is there some benefit? Yes. If it is on Ekadashi day, they're fasting, they may live 1 year more. Or maybe the operation will be critical, instead it may go smooth. But as far developing love for Krishna, no. Conscious means I am aware behind my endeavor. It is the attitude that we hold tightly to our heart behind our endeavor. What makes it called austerity, tapasya. And why Prabhupada sometimes translate austerity and penances, sometimes penances, sometimes austerity. Let's see what he says here. Tapasya, person who undergoes severe penances. And it's interesting, tapachari, even in the same synonym, tapachari, here Srila Prabhupada writes, giving up all such process of penance and austerity. So he put both. What is the meaning of this? Why both? Penances, when you think of penances and austerity, there's a slight difference. And what is the difference? The difference is that one is for yourself, one is for others. This is the nature of the Vaishnava, that they take some voluntarily pain or struggle for the welfare of others. And when they take the voluntary some austerity or some struggle for others, then it is penance. And when it is for own purification of the heart, it's austerity. So in that sense, there is a slight difference. And in Bhagavatam, I remember now that second canto, 9th chapter, text 23, that Krishna himself also exclaiming, very interesting. He says, Tapame Ridayam Sakshat. Tapame Ridayam Sakshat. Krishna says, tapasya is my heart and soul. Now, Prabhupada translates that in that regard, the penance, or austerity, and Krishna are non-different. Because Krishna himself says, tapame ridayam shaksha. Now, how to understand this? Sounds like, I mean, in reality, nobody likes to do austerity, nobody likes to do penance. And but Krishna says that him and penance are non-different. And he says that this austerity is my heart. Now, who doesn't want Krishna's heart? and soul. He says, tapasya is my heart and soul. So it's very profound that how Krishna is explaining this. Prattadishtam maya tatra tai karma vimohite tapame hridayam sakshat atmaham tapaso anagha. So Prabhupada's translation is, O sinless Brahma, you may know from me, Krishna himself speaking here, it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance. So you see, even the creation began in this universe. The first person, Brahmaji, he had to go austerity. So I'm begging also, requesting, every devotee should embrace this austerity. But of course, you should understand what that austerity means. That it was, the Krishna himself said, that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. We can take like this. When you are bewildered, you don't know what to do, or you're not feeling well, take your japamala, sit down and chant. This kind of acceptance, when we are perplexed, it is recommended here by Lord Krishna himself to Brahmaji. And then further Prabhupada translates, such penance is my heart and soul. Therefore, penance and I are non-different. So, tapame hridayam sakshat. Such penance. Now, question is, what is that penance that Krishna is speaking, that him and penance are one? So, Srila Prabhupada gives further explanation. Such penance is the internal potency of the Lord and is non-different from him. Such acts of internal potency are exhibited by non-attachment for material enjoyment. It is not that we are deprived of enjoyment. It is that you are given an option. What option? Now, in Bhagavad Gita we see that we are product of our decision, not situation. So we are product of our decision. In that sense, we have a choice to be under internal potency or under external potency. In my progress, when my intelligence has a clarity, then I can see before I begin anything where it is going to take me. Then I should choose internal potency voluntarily. Then we'll never be disturbed, and it will please Krishna, and we'll be happily live ever after. This is what Brajavasi's mood. The living entities are encaged in the conditions of material bondage. Why? Because of their propensity for lordship over. Now, over lordship in that sense is not that everybody wants to be controller, but materially they are. Question is why? Because there is shortage of supply, shortage of livelihood, shortage of life itself, lifespan. There is fear, but in spiritual world those things are absent. Under spiritual energy, those things are absent. I give you an example. I saw that there was no food in this desert. Right now I'm in Las Vegas, and there is a big, big mountain, rock mountain, the desert almost, outside the casinos area. And so there is no food for the animals. So that reminds that in India, this story is so relevant. If you travel in the desert area of India, that there was a dog who could not find a food for a long, long time, and is traveling here, there, and at one point he saw a old dry bones. And he was so happy, he grabbed it. Even though there is no meat, but he is trying to bite it, chew it, this way, that way, this way, that way. He thinks by biting, maybe some meat will come. But of course, that's a foolish idea. It will never come. But he cannot give up because also he doesn't have a choice. He did not find food for days. Now from far distance, nine other dogs saw that. And they are thinking, oh my God, we got the food. It's with him. We haven't found any food for days. We're going to just kill him if he does not give. So they all ran and pounced on him. They got the bones and they started like fighting for it. Who is going to bite? And this dog, poor dog, he left the scenery. He went a little far and is watching. Now, I don't know what the dog was thinking, but I was thinking if it was me, I'd be like thinking, what they're fighting for? What they're really fighting for? Nothing is there. There's no meat. This is the material world. Everybody is fighting for some name, some possession. They want to take over Mother Earth. Mother Earth is laughing too. So they want to possess me. They're like desperate. The example of Napoleon, Hitler, this whole conception is this. So, what is our point? Point is, here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving a very nice clue that don't be under this illusory energy. If you are under illusory energy, you will feel this need and supply, need and supply, and you will never get enough. So what happened? You become a frantically denser that you just want to lord over and control everything. Because there is always shortage. In the spiritual world, in other hand, everything is abundant. That's why there is no lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, envy, nothing. Why? Because everything is complete and unlimited. So austerity means we need to practice every day to be under internal potency so we can have access of the spiritual abundance. Now you may say, do you mean sense gratification? No. Sense gratification is not that soul is enjoying. It appears like I am enjoying. This apparently there's a mistake of understanding. If you ask a doctor that sometimes there is a virus, parasite inside your body. And the parasite makes you feel hungry. And you think that is you. Even the parasites are making you feel that you need. So they're creating a need. Then you're looking for food and you eat. And you now you feel, wow, now I feel satisfied. But if you ask the doctor, those parasites eating or I, who is satisfied? He said, actually, the parasites are happy. Parasites are using you to fulfill their desire. What does that mean? Means this mind, intelligent, ego, the material ego, material intelligent, material mind, they are like parasites and they create the impression as identifying self, body as the self, mind as the self. And as a result, we are feeding this mind. Oh, this girl is more beautiful than my wife. Oh, this man is more handsome than my husband. Or this house is better than my house. I should buy this. I should work hard. Or I should do some cheating, stealing from the company. Whatever. They just goes on and on and on. But this is not soul's desire. Soul never wants to do this. But misuse of free will, they end up in this prison. This is the declaration or realization I have that I understood little bit by the mercy of Prabhupada, that we should never try to make prison as paradise. Prison will never become paradise. We'll be eternally disappointed if we don't get out of this illusion. We are in a prison. Just get rectification, get out. We should not make this place paradise because it will never become. It is not made. Prison is never made for a luxury paradise. Luxury paradise is there for us. Krishna is such a loving father, he is giving us. So here, tapasya, austerity, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that even tapasya, they also become Vaishnava. But question is how? Sadhu Sange Tapachari Sri Krishna Bhajai. Srila Prabhupada translates, when such person come in contact with a devotee, they give up all this practice and engage in Lord Krishna's service. We are talking about this practically happening in our life. When we are associating with the devotees, we hear about from the lips of devotee that Krishna is speaking by engaging them in thinking of that philosophy. Krishna is using their mouth, Krishna is using their body to attract others. So we can be attracted by hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he had to say. And then we'll give up to be under this external energy and accepting the internal energy. What is that means? Means devotee. Internal energy exists in the heart of devotee. Internal energy covers this pure devotees. In the beginning of creation, Lord Krishna also says that this material cosmic manifestation, I think it's in the 11th canto, 14th chapter, this verse is there. Nirapeksham munim shantam vimatsara samadarshanam. Anuvrajami aham nittam pujayat angriyanavi. When you think of bhakta, bhakta means what? What is bhakta? What is sadhu sangha means? Association of sadhu. First is sadhu is a mahatmanastu maam partha doivin prakritin asrita. The sadhu means they are under internal potency. Devotee means under internal potency, period. If I have a doubt what Prabhupada says, that means I'm challenging his inconceivable potency. I'm not accepting his inconceivable potency. What is internal potency means? Agadana ghatana patiyasi lila shakti. The verse says that internal potency means endowed with inconceivable potency. So when you accept a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, he is under his Mahatma, he is under Doibi Prakriti. Mahatmanastu maam partha Doibim Prakriti Mahasrita. Krishna himself said this to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, that my devotee, they are under, their great soul, they are under internal potency. Internal potency means they are endowed with inconceivable. If there is a doubt on the opinion of a pure devotee, that is our fault in our heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared this. Ihate je dos deke tar sei dos bhaktir varnana matra Krishna rasantos. Everything the devotee explains, their realization, it is for the pleasure of Krishna. There is no fault. And if somebody finds fault, that fault is coming from his own contamination, mistaken. So back to this austerity for attaining Krishna in devotee's heart, it's his internal potency. And Krishna says, I am the soul of that austerity. That means Krishna, when okay, that means that when I desire, when Krishna desire that a particular soul from Las Vegas or from Austin or from New York will give up the enjoyment of material sense pleasure and will be under my internal potency, and if that devotee align with it voluntarily, then it is complete of austerity. What our Guru is telling us, if we accept that and we are aligned with Guru's desire, just like Prabhupada asked that question, that Guru comes from spiritual world to take the soul back home, back to Godhead, and soul take the shelter of Guru, and go back home, back to Godhead. But then Prabhupada asked this question underneath the tree. That day he didn't go to temple, he gave a class underneath the tree. And this story narrated by Chabanamuni, Chaban Rishi Maharaj, he's still alive, near Wilston, Florida. And he told me this story. And he says, very interestingly, Prabhupada asked that question that, what is the desire that Guru has? He wants to take you back home, back to Godhead. What is the desire for the devotee? What is the duty of the devotee? He asked. And the disciple at that time, they said, well, the desire, the duty to follow Four Regulative Principles, chant Hare Krishna. And someone say, distribute books and this, that. But Prabhupada was looking particular answer with it. All the things they said is also good, but there's a particular thing. That Prabhupada then revealed, he says, disciple also should develop a desire that Guru has come to take me home, I want to go home. That desire should be always out front. The Prabhupada has come, he wants to take us back home, back to Godhead, we want to go home. That desire should be there. So back to this, if someone sincerely wants to see the Lord, at the same time wants to enjoy this material world, he is considered to be fool. One who wants to remain here in the material world for material enjoyment has no business entering into eternal kingdom of God. The Lord favors such a foolish devotee by snatching all that he may possess in the material world. I like this conception because now if somebody has a lot of money and he's engaging, he's seeing that his family members are all servant, made servant of Krishna, and he's helping them, he's engaging that wealth to serve those devotees, buying a house for the devotee. It may appear for his son or daughter or his mother, father. And they are all devotees and they are all engaged in devotional service. And he's spending the money to serve those devotees, then Krishna will never take away anything. It is a misconception to think that to become a devotee, actually you have to give up everything. No, no. Giving up what? Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything has to be utilized. We are not exploiter or renouncer. We are not enjoyer or renouncer separately from Krishna. We are utilizers. So all, even the enjoyment should be with Krishna. We offer nice, sumptuous, delicious bhoga to Krishna, then distribute amongst the devotees. Maybe materially appear like your family member, but your vision is, or my vision should be, is their devotees. I have to be always careful that to act such a way that nobody disappointed or turns back from Krishna, turns back towards Krishna, or feel go away from Krishna. If I am a leader in the temple and some devotee leaves because of my behavior and lifestyle, I should be punished. The whole purpose of Krishna Consciousness Movement to attract through our lifestyle, behavior, through our endeavor, through our attitude. And that should be always watched. So therefore, the Lord favors such a foolish, those who don't engage in devotional service but want to enjoy separately from God, then Lord favors also. How? To such foolish devotee? By snatching all that he may possess in the material world. If such a foolish devotee of the Lord tries to recoup his position, then the merciful Lord again snatches away. This happened. I don't mention the name, but it happened. So some devotee I know for sure, all that he may have possessed by such repeated failure in material prosperity, he becomes very unpopular with his family member and fans. Excuse me. In the material world, the family member and friends honor persons who are very successful in accumulating wealth by any means. The foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance by the grace of the Lord. And at the end, the devotee becomes perfectly happy, being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, penance in devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary submission or by being forced by the Lord, is necessary for attaining perfection. And thus, such penance is the internal potency of the Lord. We should always remember. Without austerity, even hearing this, sometimes you wonder, you hear about Krishna Katha, but you're not feeling happy. When you are watching a Karmi movie, one Gurukuli boy told me that when I invite my friends, I don't have to tell them, when I invite my friends for a movie, I don't have to tell them what movie. They say, okay, what time? 7 o'clock, okay, we'll be there. But he said, one time he invited, he said, tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock, I'm inviting you, we'll do japa together. Actually, I have to go to work a little early. I don't know if I can make it. All of a sudden, the excuse comes. But when you ask for the sense enjoyment, how is this? So question comes that how can we get the taste of hearing, taste of chanting, taste of this austerity, that you don't need to advertise anymore. People automatically will be drawn. Like you're watching a movie, they come. Yes. The taste of this japa, it requires a conscious decision and absorption. Manasangharanam socham maunam mantrartha chintanam abhagratam anirvishbhedesha japa sampatti hetava. Manasangharanam. When we are contemplating and understanding the meaning of japa, this austerity that we do every day, and more we are absorbed, more we are praying, longing, my Lord, please allow me to serve you. Please, my Lord, give me that opportunity. I know I avoided your service. I voluntarily choose not to serve you. Please forgive me. I'm so insignificant, vulnerable situation. When we appeal and cry and beg and beg, that will produce relishing the japa seva. It is not finishing 16 rounds. It is a service. Krishna reciprocate with the attitude. Consciously, we have to do some purification. That to be understood. In Bhagavatam, you will see austerity is like everywhere. So as I said, austerity here, tapa. Tapa, tapasvi. Tapa means to purify my heart from anarthas. So I voluntarily do take some uncomfortable, like getting up for Mangala Arati, eat only prasadam, never eat anything without offering to Lord. Not involved with unnecessary gossip. These are called austerity. Again, what is penance? Penance means engaging intelligence. Penance means engaging intelligence or applying to repent or regret. Feeling. I don't want to do any activity that will be harmful for others. I have to be very cautious. This is called penance. Every day we should do this. Every day. How can I behave? How can I do, lead my life in such a way that will please Guru Krishna and that will not cause pain to anybody else? They will rather be attracted to become devotee. Yudhishthira Maharaj even asked that to Krishna. That make us a lifestyle that other will come to you, because if they don't come to you, Prabhu, they will suffer. I see that they are suffering. And that was the main reason why he did Rajasriya Jagna. That was the main cause, that his compassion towards delivering others. So this austerity is voluntarily we take every day. When Mahaprabhu says, tapasvi pravriti jata deharami hai, those tapasvi, they are us. We need to consciously become devotee. Let's go to the next verse now. Jatpada sevadi ruchi ruchista tapasinam ashesha janma mochpochitam malam dhiya saddashkinati anvaham medati sati jathapadanugustav vinisrita sarit. The taste for loving service is like the water of the river Ganges, which flows from the feet of Lord Krishna. Every day that taste diminishes the result of sinful activities acquired over a period of many births by those who perform austerities. So again, this verse is talking about the austerities. Yes, this metaphor, it's like, you know, it reminded me of one acharya. I forgot where I read. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, I think. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. I'm one of his followers. They were never living near the Ganges. And the father brought little Ganges water from Mayapur to this person who lives in a place where no Ganges water ever flows in that part of India, in which the border with Andhra. And so the child asked, "Father, this is rare, this Ganges water?" He said, "Yes." He said, "So then we should take one drop only. We should not just drink the whole thing." He said, "Yes, take one drop every day. And it will last for 5-6 years. Then after 5-6 years, we'll go." So one day when his father became a devotee, he told this story that he told his son that we are going to go to Mayapur, Navadvip. And you remember how you adore this Ganges water? He said, "Yes, father." He said, "How much you take?" He said, "One drop." You'll be surprised when you go to Mayapur. There's a whole river of this water. And this boy jumped. He said, "Father, wow, we can just drink as much as we want." He said, "Yes, not only this, you can go underneath the water. You will be completely soaked in water." He said, "Wow." And the boy started like a happy jumping. Then the father says, "My spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also said that our experience of spiritual happiness will come to this kind of experience. We are now, once in a while, we are happy, little drop. Sometimes we are not happy. We go back to material world. But we come back again, take a little drop. Because this is so precious. We chant, we feel some happy for some time. Then that happiness disappears. But we can somehow or other proceed, march towards that goal. One day we will see that there is abundance, transcendental, mellows of love, nectar, like a Ganges water will flow. Then we will look at the material world and we will feel a distaste, like Prabhupada says, spite on it. You may say, well, that's not proper pronunciation, but out of ecstasy, Prabhupada said that. Spite or spite, doesn't matter. Prabhupada says, Jamuna Acharya, whenever he thought of material enjoyment, sex, he spied on it. But those who are under the spell of sense enjoyment, for them it does not make sense. How is possible? They made their vow, their whole life should have this enjoyment. I cannot live without this enjoyment. For them, when they hear, there is no bridge. There is a big gap. There is no bridge connecting. But when that same person who made a vow, sense enjoyment is my ultimate goal. I remember in my life, early days, I always so attracted to the movie that I thought, when I retire, I'll have a lot of money, which Krishna gave. When I retire, I will watch 3 movies every day. Well, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he really gave this process, and when you really taste Krishna consciousness, last 9 years I didn't even watch 1 movie. And when I think of that, or somebody ever say, I feel like distaste, because why I should be interested to somebody's life, economy life, what that person did in their life or whatever it is, why should I be interested? I'm not even interested in my own personal life. I'm interested in my life as a devotee, as a soul. I'm fascinated with that. I'm not even fascinated with my material life, the conditional body. But I understand it is there. I'm not hating or neglecting, because this is what giving me to proceed. This body gives me to do practice. So in that sense, this body also belongs to Krishna now. He also resides in the heart. So this, I have to take care of the body, I have to take care of the material things for his pleasure. So the movie doesn't attract, or whatever the conception of, we are coming to almost to the ending. So the point is that we should keep on going in the spiritual life. And at one point, you will don't be disappointed, because I was disappointed sometime, and now I look at back that I'm glad that I had a good association of sincere devotees, senior devotees, who actually told me to read Nectar of Devotion. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami's path says that when you grow further in your spiritual path, you come to a stage called Anartha Nibriti, where you feel this temptation comes and you feel like you can resist with your spiritual strength. Yes, sometimes you succeed, sometimes you feel succumbed. Oh gosh, I failed. I can't. I fall for this again. You feel guilty, but at the same time you feel like, but that's happy. I feel happy. I don't know how can I give up. I enjoy this. So you go through it. Very vulnerable position, but it is actually a hopeless position sometimes. It's a very scary position, I remember, and it's very hard. But hold on to tightly. Just hold on to tightly the process and try to associate with advanced devotee who actually crossed that stage. And when you come to that next stage, your intelligence becomes so clear. And if this temptation comes, you say, no, I can live without it. And it's so nice. And you go further. You go further progress. You have some hope now. You're finding some hope. You see some light in your process of chanting and going. And you become little more pure. When you come to the Nishtha stage, you feel like, I can live without it, I don't need it. Why? Because you are getting in contact with some mystical happiness in your heart. You keep on going, very seriously you cry, you keep on going. You come to the next stage called Ruchi. you feel, how was I involved like this? Oh, Lord, please, my Lord, protect me. I'm so scared of going back to that route. Please, you feel distasteful. You go further. Same temptation that you could not live without it in the beginning of the process, you come to that stage, close to asakti, where you feel it's not even intelligible. That there is a taste, you cannot even see it. This is required. So I'll end with this. And if there is any question, comments, reflection, because so much to say, but I would like to also serve the Vaishnavas for their pleasure. If there is something I can help. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Any question, comment, reflection, Mata? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Always a pleasure.
Hare Krishna, Mother.
Always a pleasure to hear your talks. I have a couple things. One is this word penance. I was very intrigued by your definition of it. If I understood you properly, it sounded like austerities that we take up voluntarily, but not for our own sake, out of compassion for others. Is that the correct understanding?
What I understand from the purport, like Prabhupada sometimes he says, austerity means voluntarily choosing not to curse others. I say, what? okay, that means the... And I can relate because, Mataji, I had a bad heart. I still probably do. But Krishna, hopefully, is trying to purify. That if I was not happy with somebody's dealings, I would really feel like to see some horrible thing happen to that person. It's such a horrible thought. And then when I read this, Prabhupada said, oh, that means immediately I felt guilty. And I prayed to Krishna, please purify my heart. This is not good. If I don't go along with some devotee or somebody, whether it's a devotee or non-devotee, and immediately I wish that that person would actually get some pain that he will realize he did mistake, as if I am more important than him. So austerity means to purify my heart, whatever it is. So what should I do? So Prabhupada gives what I understand, that voluntarily I have to take some uncomfortable in a sense, like there may be
my intention was to focus, because you were making a distinction between austerity and penance.
Yeah.
And so now you're talking about austerity.
I'm finishing, and the penance means intelligence has to apply.
Excuse me? Say again?
Penance means intelligence has to apply. In order to repent and regret, you know, like you are, I'm sure you are familiar with Daksha. And Prabhupada made a very significant point that Daksha's head was severed, and his regression took place at that time when his head was not there. So Prabhupada made a very nice sentence. He said that regret feeling has to come from the heart, not from intelligence, not from calculation, head. Like, if I want to purify my heart, that is austerity, you can say, in one sentence. If I want to regret if I did something to others, and also guide my life in a way that it does not give bad effect to others, then it will be penance in a shorter version.
Okay, so austerities are something that you take up, you know, actually out of your intelligence, you take up an austerity to purify your heart. But penance is more of like an emotion, right? That out of that emotion of regret for...
Yes, function of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Austerity, what you said is correct. Austerity is more like applying the intelligence to purify my heart. Okay, I'm going to get up for Mangala Arati.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the morning I should do it is good.
Mm-hmm.
And there is two devotees are talking in the temple, and I just don't like it. I just feel like to punch them, push them out of the temple room because it's a time for chanting. No, I have to respect that they also have come. But some or other, maybe something they're talking so important about Krishna that I may not be hearing. But how can I control my mind that at the same time maintain that respect? That has to come from heart.
Mm-hmm.
That they are devotees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's difficult sometimes. I understand. It's because I went through like that. Mm-hmm. So that's why Prabhupada, if you look at that today's sloka, he put both. Prabhupada is so genius. I don't know how he came up with it. He writes here, giving up all such process of penance and austerity.
Well, I think I missed that. Why did he say we should give up all processes of austerities and penance? Why give them up?
This is in the synonyms of today's verse.
Uh-huh.
Those who are tapasvi. Tapasvi means those who undergo severe penance. There he writes severe penance. If you know the story of Sivas Thakur, the Sivas Thakur house, they used to have a holy name. you would say ecstasy experience. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he came to distribute this love of Godhead, but that love of Godhead was not distributed at that time to everybody. It was a locked up door. It was deadbolt is there. Prabhupada writes, translate. It was the door has a deadbolt. You know the deadbolt.
Yes.
Deadbolt means you cannot break in. You have to have a key. The other lock you can break in. Deadbolt means you have to take out the entire lock. There is no way you can just... So that's why it's called deadbolt. Deadbolt is not just a doorknob. Doorknob and deadbolt is different. I learned this recently, actually. Anyway, there's another difference. So Prabhupada translates deadbolt. He knew every word what to use. And even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute love of Godhead, but he put a deadbolt at Sivas Thakur gate. So nobody unqualified could not enter in. Means they have to be qualified. So I was researching on this. What is that unqualified? So there was a sneaky, tricky, you can say, like one brahmachari went inside. And anyway, there's a whole pastime. And the end of the whole pastime, the Lord Chaitanya was conversing with him. He said, you are not allowed. The brahmachari said, I do a lot of austerity. I drink only milk. I never ate any cooked food. And I don't indulge in the sensual activity, sex or others. I'm doing very austerity and I should be allowed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says no. Now, I was thinking, if I was that person, I am next to the Supreme Absolute Truth whose compassion is unbelievable. He's the most compassionate. But why did he deprive him? It is not the austerity alone of the calculation. it has to be penance of the heart. What does that mean? That if that brahmachari would say, I'm so sorry, Prabhu, my heart is hard-hearted. Please give me mercy so I can be, please help me. How can I enter into that realm where I can serve the holy name under your guidance? He did not do it. So that has to come from the heart. Because he did not come from the heart, he was deprived at that time. Even though he was so-called austerity he was doing. Bhakti Siddhanta Sudhakar made a comment, if that austerity was the qualification according to that brahmachari, then all the baby who are just born, they depend on the breast milk. So then they are all eligible to get love of Godhead.
Wait, what was that one again?
You know, when the babies are born,
yeah,
how they maintain their life, sustenance. Breast milk, only milk.
Yeah.
So that drinking milk is not really, was it like a kind of a joke?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So he said that austerity is not really austerity. Like babies are automatically they get breast milk. That doesn't mean they are doing austerity.
Right.
So it is a misunderstood. Austerity has to have a softened heart. Heart has to be softened.
But in that verse, still, didn't Prabhupada say that both austerities and penances have to be given up? Penance, we said, was remorse from the heart.
Yes. In this case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about like this brahmachari who did not understand the meaning of penance.
Okay.
He thought not looking at the girl, not involving sense enjoyment, only drinking milk is qualification enough that you are eligible now to get love of Godhead.
Yeah.
That is condemned. That is not given.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's clear, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I did have, I should give somebody else a chance, but I did have one other question.
Okay.
Should I ask or should I wait? I don't know.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Mata.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I have read so many times about austerity and penances while reading Prabhupada purport, but I never know what is austerity. Austerity, in some case, little bit I understand, but I never know the actual meaning of penance. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for clearing very nicely. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, Mata.
Hare Krishna, is there any
Hare
question?
Krishna, Prabhuji, I have a question. So, very nicely you cleared the difference between austerity and penance. And also in the beginning of the class, you were talking about just performing austerity without knowing why we are doing it doesn't give result much. But I have this question that even in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, in his previous birth, he accidentally performed a so-called austerity and it brought about great result that he was able to be, be born as a, be born as a devotee and he could proceed in Krishna consciousness from there. So how do we understand this? I mean, I do understand that if you apply your mind favorably towards Krishna, definitely the benefits are much higher. But we also see that even a sort of dry austerity without applying it towards Krishna has great benefits, right? Just not on the health.
Yes.
Also on the
it is. It is. Let's talk about Prahlad Maharaj for a minute. In Prahlad Maharaj's case, Prahlad Maharaj did not become immediately pure devotee. He's a great soul, there's no question. The austerity that you're talking about with the prostitute, fasted the Nisinga Chaturdashi on Nisinga temple, not knowing that, you may say that way, but his greatest contribution was not because of that, because of his opportunity when they do that kind of austerity, they get opportunity to associate with sadhu. So the association of sadhu opportunity he got. That doesn't mean he became pure devotee immediately, but he heard from Narad Muni what made him to understand. If you read his teaching on chapter 5, 7th canto, talking, conversing with his father, chapter 6 and 7, conversing with the other demoniac children, that he made them pure devotee. He always referring what he heard, what he understood. He never said, I did austerity from previous life, so I became. Not like this. It is that the hearing, because he heard it for 36,000 years. You know, 36,000 years is a long time, I think. I don't know what it is, means. And he became like this. And also another angle to look at it, Prabhupada says that it is a two pralad in that body. One is nitya siddha pralad and one is sadhan. It is in 7th canto, 10th chapter, 13th verse, I think. In the purport you'll see. So we have to look at from that angle. You follow? The penance that he did, yes, he did penance. Because his mother forgot about it. But he did not forget. That is the penance. So what penance he did, that he was trying to retain what he heard. And he was endeavoring so hard. He was praying, I want to remember what I heard from my guru. I don't want to forget. Because he that is penance.
Makes sense, yeah.
Because he did penance, that's why he remembers everything. And he told the demoniac boys, you can do the same thing, what I did. Is that clear?
Yes, Prabhu, very, very clear. So again, I'm just saying the same thing as you are saying, but I just wanted to say it. So basically, when we say austerity, like when we say austerity of speech, austerity of tongue, austerity of whatever, like, you know, vacha, vegam, mana, vegam, all that, or austerity of mind, that means we are trying to avoid all that which is not probably favorable to Krishna consciousness. But when we say penance, we are applying the mind in the service of Krishna, which makes the entire effort Krishna conscious or favorable to Krishna. So there are two things. Austerity is just the dry austerity, whereas penance means doing it in a Krishna conscious way. Is that the correct understanding?
Yes. Okay. That is good. That's good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Fantastic class. Hare Krishna. Go ahead. Gaurangi Mataji had a question. She can...
No, I did, but I need to follow up on this now. So, you know, Mataji was saying that, you know, austerity is when you do it dry, penance is when you do it for Krishna conscious motive. But after our discussion, I could see how you could do austerity for Krishna conscious motive in a dry way, because, you know, you're just applying your intelligence. You know, you say, you know, it's not coming, you don't really want to get up from Mangal Arati, but you do it because you know you should. You know, there are things that you can do in a, like in a medicinal way for the sake of your Krishna consciousness, but you're doing it because you know it's an intelligent thing to do, which sounds dry to me. And whereas penance, you're also doing it for Krishna consciousness, but it's more coming from your heart, and that's what makes it penance. In both cases, you're doing it for the sake of Krishna consciousness, but one, the austerity is driven more by intelligence, and the penance is driven more by the heart, even though both are for Krishna consciousness. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right, Mataji. I think I worded it totally wrong here. What you're saying makes sense, Mataji. Thank you for that.
Okay. I guess, Prabhu, you agree, no?
Yes, good understanding. Now, for an example, say, give an example. Like, for an example, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Anudbhega Karam Vaikam in 1715. that austerity of the speech in speaking words that are, you have a four things, has to be truthful, has to be pleasing, has to be beneficial, and not agitating to others. Now, you want to speak, this could be dry, you can say, because some people are speaking anyway. They're always talking, whether devotee or non-devotee people has a, this could be dry, it can be in favor of Krishna, it can be not in Krishna consciousness. So that part, that the speaking power, it can be seen in both ways. But in order to be follower of Krishna, then we have to speak which is truthful. Now, truthful means, has a also deep meaning. Because truthful doesn't mean, okay, hey, you eating hot dog, you're going to go to hell. Now, did I lie? Now, if the truthful is actually disturbing him, and he is now never want to see my face, practically I'm saying, I hope nobody does this, I'm just giving a maybe extreme example. And he thinks that Hare Krishna people, I never want to see their face. All these things. Am I actually bringing him closer to Krishna?
Obviously.
No. No. So if I am acting as a devotee, that yes, that truthful means that I have to know the art that, oh, you like to eat. I had some prasadam. This is very delicious. Would you like to try? If I cannot accept and appreciate, how am I appreciating that he likes to eat? Okay, he agrees and he doesn't see any threat or anything, rather he appreciates. Okay, I'm appreciating that you like to eat, good. I'm also accepting who he is, that he is ignorant, he doesn't know, that's why he's involved in violent type of food like hot dog, for an example. So in that case, if I am acting as a devotee, then I give him, I appreciate that, oh, you love to eat. It's nothing bad or good. And I give him some prasadam. Then it will make him feel little more closer to Hare Krishna people or Krishna consciousness, and the prasadam will act. So beautiful art of what will be truthful means, what will be pleasing means. Pleasing doesn't mean, say, oh, Mataji, you are so beautiful. That's not really a proper way to say. If you say, I love the way you think, because this actually, I also think sometimes, but I cannot say it, but you say it like this. That was very nice because a lot of other people who could not perceive, they are now benefited because you spoke. That is nice. So pleasing also has what my intention behind. So it has to be like always watching and beneficial. It says, Saptam Priya Hitam Chajat. There's a beneficial. Beneficial in what sense? That is it beneficial means, is it really benefiting that soul? If that word actually disturbs that soul, then it is not beneficial. I may think, well, he heard it, he's going to go to hell, and it should be benefiting him, but that's not really beneficial. I'm actually keeping him away. He did not understand at all. So from many angles, we have to look at it. It's a very beautiful art, and I see a lot of our preachers, they're so expert when they speak, and they actually give the truth, which is like a sharp razor, I can say. But the way they present or give it, that they people see that, okay, it is something very valuable, but I may not be there yet, but I will keep it with me. Maybe someday I may need it. That is good. That is good. I mean, every day we see this. Every day in our dealing. Prabhupada was smiling on a morning walk. And this old lady, she has a dog on her leash. And when she saw Prabhupada, she came forward and she said to her, this is a typical American Mataji, not devotee, but outsider, she's like mother. So she said, oh, you are Swami. I saw you in the newspaper front. And she smiled, and Prabhupada smiled. He said, yes, I am. And Prabhupada said, oh, you are going on a morning walk, good for health. Now, the way Prabhupada presented, she felt so good, and she smiled. And seeing this, one of Prabhupada's godbrother even commented, he says, this lady destroyed all her material suffering for a sinful reaction that she is going to experience, just because she was appreciating Prabhupada, and Prabhupada reciprocated. And I thought about it. It is 1 minute conversation Prabhupada had. Prabhupada smiled and Prabhupada appreciated and he accepted who she is. Tremendous amount of sinful reaction destroyed just by that. Just little dealing. So these are the art we can learn and we can apply in our own life. I'm stopping here because this can go on.
Well,
long discussion.
You brought this up, this what it means to be, you know, the four aspects of
speaking. Yes.
You brought this up in connection to this discussion of austerities and penance.
It is the austerity of speech.
Oh, austerity.
Krishna says. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
so in that sense, austerity here is including penance.
Austerity here is including penance.
These four things that we need to think before we speak.
Uh-huh.
You know, there is a slang where somebody told me once many years back. He says, chew it before you spit out. Means before you speak to someone, make sure it is actually you like it and it will be beneficial. This is exactly what Krishna wants us to do in 17th chapter, 15th verse. Anubhagya karam bhaikam saptam priya hitam chajat. Krishna wants us to follow this way when we preach or speak to others, even with our own family dealings.
When you were describing what it means to be pleasing, we shouldn't think that, you know, pleasing means like to stroke somebody's ego. It should be when we're trying to be pleasing, you know, instead of like trying to flatter somebody, pleasing, I don't know, can you clarify the pleasing aspect of speech?
You actually heard it well. Pleasing in a sense that we are not trying to putting air in their balloon of false ego, in a sense. Pleasing in a sense that we think, how can I bring this person to remember or come close to Krishna? This is before even thinking of saying anything. Before even saying anything, what I can do, how can I please that person through speech that will bring that person close to Krishna?
Mm-hmm.
So then automatically when that intention is there, then whatever the word comes,
uh-huh,
it will have an effect.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's clear. And there was something when you were answering Mataji's question about Prahlad Maharaj. And you said that, I think you said that he was not born a perfected soul. It's because he underwent, I don't know, was it 32,000 years or something of hearing from Narada Muni?
It says that he, Prabhupada translated, if I recall, I don't have in front of me, but it says he heard for 100 solar years, which is, you calculate solar years, it's about 36,000 years, our years, 36,000 of our American Gregorian calendar or something like that. That's
heard
a long time here.
In the womb? He heard in the womb for so long?
In the womb, yes. Yes. Yes.
And so,
the soul can hear in the womb very clearly.
And so, at what point did he become perfected?
Well, we have to see Prahlad Maharaj in a two angle. One is, Srila Prabhupada says, in the purport that there are two classes of devotees, the sadhana siddha and nitya siddha. Sadhana siddha is like me, I'm trying to become perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And nitya siddha is like Prabhupada, who is eternally perfected, but he acting like a sadhaka. There's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada said, he's a mixed siddha, means he's perfect, partly because he executing devotional service and partly because of his eternal perfection. That means, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also mentioned, sometime in one body, there is a few personality. You probably heard this, Haridas Thakur is a combination of Prahlad, Brahmaji. Yeah, so like those character quality exhibiting through Haridas Thakur sometime, not necessarily all personality experiencing the same thing in that body. So particular perfection sometime, particular endeavor, particular activity, sadhana, is performed by either nitya siddha or sadhana siddha.
So,
that's another big topic that in Nectar of Devotion actually has a lot of... one time I remember Jayadvaita Maharaj, I think a class, and in the purport, Prabhupada write, I think it was the Purnachanda, yes. The one of the Nityananda Prabhu's associate, he's a combination of two personality. Both personalities in that body. One is a gopi of Krishna. Another is a gopi of Balaram. Now, this is a very, like opposite. Not opposite in a wrong way, but opposite like a two different mood. How is this possible in one? We cannot understand it. It's inconceivable.
And that's
sometimes
Nityananda.
Something we can.
That's not Nityananda Prabhu.
No, not Nityananda Prabhu. One of his devotees.
Oh.
You know, he used to travel with all these coward boys. And one of the devotee, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. And we just, it's inconceivable because I come from a conditioned life of experience, you know, like it's difficult to understand even, mystic siddhi because I didn't experience any mystic siddhi like that. But I understand that we do have a mystic siddhi, like we eat food and the food transform into blood. I don't know how, but obviously inside the body it's happening. So there is so many, like a mother take a regular food, it transform into milk. You know, you give grass to the bull, it doesn't produce milk, but you give grass to the cow, it produces milk. So it's also mystical. There's so many things. It's difficult to, but we accept. And that's the only thing I can do. My intelligence cannot even perceive further.
So in Prahlad, you said there is. Do we know which two personalities he is? You know, one. You said one is Sadhaka Siddhi, one is Nitya Sutta, right?
When you have a time, you can read something also Prabhupada gave in 7th Canto Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, text 13. You can look at also, there is some information there.
Okay. And very quickly, one very last thing, very quickly. You know, when you were talking about the fact that your attachment to movies had dropped off, you know. Would you say that was due to a conscious effort to have it diminish, or was it just without even trying, just as a result of your sadhana, it just happened without extraneous endeavor, let's say?
There is a three process of perceiving the truth or experience. One is that we apply our intelligence and calculate. And another is that emotionally, consciously, with mixed with emotionally, you have a liking, disliking within you. So, if you ask me, I thought about it. It's not, you are not only the one asking. Actually, I even asked myself, when did it happen? How did it? Like, if I see somebody watching movie and they glorify about the movie, it doesn't appeal anything. I feel like it's not even intelligible that this is something tasty. Now, how did it come to this point? And if somebody would meet me 20 years back when I was making lots of money, I was in business world, then how is possible? I adore movie. And it's just an idea. I don't have that experience right now. I don't have that feeling. I lost it. I nearly literally, I cannot even trace it. What was that feeling that I decided that? I cannot trace it. Now, if you say when, I don't know. Yes, there was some intelligent involvement was there, but it was not exactly my endeavor itself. Endeavor was there, but it was actually mercy of holy name, I would say, and the devotees association. I don't know. I really don't know. But it's a mystical. Now, will I ever go back? I hope not, because I don't find anything there that I need. Like if you try to convince a 2-year-old girl how romanticizing of a young man, it doesn't appeal. If you talk to Barbie doll, I don't know if you're family, I'm sure you
are. Yeah, of course.
Barbie doll. They will reciprocate. They love Barbie doll. Now, if you tell them, oh, when you grow up, your husband will take care, it's like it doesn't, they cannot feel it. Mm-hmm. They may hear it, it doesn't, it's something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you said there was...
And I thought about it, Mata, mm-hmm. I thought about it. How come I was so much into it, but I cannot even trace it back, that mm-hmm. the feeling, I
wow.
lost that feeling. I don't know what happened, that feeling, it disappeared. I'm not regretting either, that the feeling gone. I'm glad that it gone.
Yeah, of course.
But at the same time, I cannot trace it. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Which is good also. I really like that.
Yeah, I would like that too.
Yeah. And the material enjoyment, I feel like everything is slowly, slowly, that's how it's practically. In other words, I, being honest to you, I have such a strong faith on this process of bhakti. It works 100%.
Yeah.
Natural devotion,
like
guidance.
That one, yeah, of course you can say that.
Yeah, it's actually convincing. You know, conviction and determination is very synonyms to our endeavor because of this. And it works. This process 100% works. But my problem is, I tell you honestly, I find a lot of time, the problem is that when we begin the bhakti, we are escapers. I would say even myself, escaper in a sense, I'm not looking, when I join, there's a happiness. Why? I'm not looking at the material world. I'm looking at The devotees' association, prasadam, chanting, everything, but I'm not interested of purifying the heart. I'm interested of just, it's just good feeling. I don't have anything to do with the material world. I didn't say it like that, but that's, I can reflect. I can see that. I was there. And then after a little while, a few months or year or a few years, the material world again manifests in front of me. And I'm like, turmoil. Well, what did I get? Well, I didn't really get enough to stay away from the material world. Maybe I should recheck again, resurf again. That's where the biggest problem arises in devotee's life. I feel in my life it happened.
Wait, that's what you're calling if escapism?
Yes, it is escapism. Escapism is not bad. Escape is not bad if it pushes with the intention, because you remember, maybe I spoke about it a couple of weeks back or last week. Our purpose is to transcend the world that is not focused. While we are transcending the world, we have to transform the world. This is Mahaprabhu's follower, Prabhupada's follower. Escapism is there. Lot of devotees, you will see, they feel happy when they join. They really feel happy. But eventually it disappears, that happiness. And they feel like struggle. They want to go back to the college, finish the school, go back to or do some job. They don't know how they will fit because they have some impression of spiritual life. But they see that they cannot progress because they need some sense enjoyment. And they go through a little confusion. This is called anartha nibriti. And Prabhupada gave details about it. That yes, you want the fire. Fire is compared like a pure love. You want the fire. And you saw the log in front of you. And you started. When you started, you are in trouble. Why? Because the smoke is coming. And it irritates. Now before you started, you did not have irritation.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So process does have a purification, does have a disturbance in the mind. If there is no good association, they fall back into material realm again. And they go back for 20 years, 30 years. I just met one of Prabhupada's disciples, such a sweet devotee. He saw Prabhupada, he's not lost. He went away for 30 years almost. Now he came back, he's so powerful, so forceful. He went to Mayapur. And he's completely dedicated now. He said, that was a big, and we went through this chart, and we examined, and we talked about it for days. And he agrees, everything Nectar of Devotion says, he could not see at that time. He sees now. He said, oh my God, this is like 100% GPS of my life. Nectar of Devotion, these books becomes your life. This is how we feel. This Nectar of Devotion is like my GPS, I'm driving my life. And GPS is telling, take a right turn. And I missed it. Oh no, I have to go. Oh, that's a long U-turn or whatever. So we are very cautious. Okay, GPS says you're going to experience this. Yes, this happening. But in the beginning, it is difficult. So I feel sorry that if somebody also go off like me. But they should not give up. They should not be judged by other devotees. They should be still respected. They're just going through a period. They will come back. They should be encouraged. They should be given a facility. Prabhu, I know you're struggling with your life. Here is some prasadam. Just take it. Here is some CD. Maybe you like to hear sometime bhajan. They feel like they don't have interest. They don't lost even taste for it. Yes, that confusion period is like this. Anartha nibriti means like this. Smoking, irritating. There is no fire. Before I was little better. At least no smoking irritation. Now it's like irritated. And if you say why they are irritated, well, you can analytically say that because I am acting on that platform. I see that. If they have a conscious decision made, commitment, and their absorption on Krishna and Holy Name is there, then emotion will follow that commitment. That time they can they can actually transcend themselves. They don't need to go through that route. I'm not saying everybody has to go to that route. but majority probably does. But they don't have to. But I was full, so I went through that. Maybe there's a reason why I went through that. I regret at the same time, maybe I needed it. I'm a dull-headed, and I needed that beaten up, you know. Like Prabhupada asked that, where is the devotee? He said, oh, he left. Prabhupada said, oh, he needs few more kicks of Maya, and that's me. I needed kicks of Maya, and I got enough that I don't want ever to go that route. And I pray for them. Because on my own, I cannot protect myself. It's only by the mercy. Of course, I want to endeavor. Endeavor and mercy combination, protection is there. Yes.
He said to see the truth, it was a three-step process. Applying intelligence is one, and the other two were what?
In the beginning, you are aware. You're thinking about it. You are aware of it. Because we are made of Satchidananda. This is always who we are. So one process is aware. Then you decide. Then the second will be that if you make a conscious decision, apply intelligent conscious decision. First, you only aware. And sometimes you fall back, sometimes you do. So this is a one way of going with it.
So wait,
the second is that you apply intelligence.
Awareness refers to awareness like of theoretical knowledge. Like
yes, and sometimes you like it, sometimes you may not. I mean, I would not say that I don't like Maharaj's harsh devotional path because I want to make money. He says, people are busy of making money. It's horrible. You know, they're wasting their life. And I'm thinking, but I want to make money. I don't want to hear this. But I don't say it. But I'm aware of it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not taking this. I'm not taking it in my heart. I'm not applying intelligence to, you know, go to him, Maharaj, help me. I'm still at us. I didn't do that. Because I want to make money, honestly. And I did that. I remember. I did that. I heard it, Maharaj's speech, but I didn't like it. But I'm aware that there is some truth about it, and someday maybe I'll experience, maybe I'm not. Only thing I could say, the good thing was I did not disrespect him. I just kind of escaped, just avoided it.
Uh-huh.
Do my thing. So that's one stage is good. Another stage is that you really consciously apply and intelligent, and then you actually work very hard to stay on your decision. It's not easy. But best one is feeling. When that decision eventually gives attachment, attraction, then goes to absorption. In the absorption, emotion appears. When emotionally this intelligent choice is actually captured, in other words, when your intelligence will be captured by the heart, you can say, that is the best.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more problem. But maybe not possible immediately for everybody. Maybe everybody is more advanced than me, I feel like sometimes, because I was a dumb. I mean, I heard so many things. I had an opportunity to associate with so many advanced sadhus. But I didn't know how to take advantage of their mercy and apply.
So the last one is, you know, after you've been trying to apply, you know, the truth to your life, and then...
With conscious decision, intelligence.
Yeah. But then...
And then it will give you some attraction. There is some attraction is there.
Uh-huh.
That attraction will give you attachment. You may not analytically see it. Now I reflect back, I see it. And that attachment eventually gives you some absorption.
Uh-huh.
That absorption draws emotion.
Uh-huh.
Then feeling, that feeling is the best conviction. You don't need anything, any scripture anymore. Anything, any scripture is good, but you don't need even.
Yeah.
Because that glee is so strong.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Thank you, Mata.
Thank you so much for indulging all my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for asking so nice question. Is there any question or comment for Prabhuji? Yeah. I think we can end the call, Prabhuji. Thank you for your assistance.
Thank you. Please now, accept my humble obeisances, and I beg apology if I didn't make you happy, if you didn't hear properly, because my English is not so good. I'm trying.
No.
And so I beg apology, and I also pay my humble obeisances.
Pancha
kalpa taru vaishya padita-anam pavanebha vaishnavibho namah. Anantagiri vaishnavinda ki jai, shubhatobhadi ki jai.
His grace, Pran Govind Prabhu ki jai.